This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day to be in the house of God together, and I'm glad to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church. Especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us. We're glad that you're here and hope that you feel welcomed and have a chance to meet the friends sitting around you this morning. If you are visiting with us and would like to know more about our congregation and the ways that we're trying to live out God's love in our world, we would love for you to come to the Welcome Center or into Reed Hall, which is all just outside this door, after the service. And there are Andrew ministers with blue name tags who are available for you to talk with and to learn a little bit more about our congregation. All of us are invited to sign in every Sunday, so there are registration pads going down each row, I hope. And if you would sign in and let us know you were here, that would be wonderful. Just a word, we usually have lunch for our college students after the late service, but that will not be happening this Sunday or next Sunday because of the Thanksgiving holiday. If you do go out into Reed Hall after the service, there are a couple of tables out there I want to tell you about. The first one is our giving table. Today is the Sunday of faithful giving, and we hope that if you've been praying about and if you're planning to make an estimate of giving for 2018, that you turn in those cards today. You can do that at the table in Reed Hall or place your card in the offering plate at that time. Either way, we're hoping to reach a goal of 400 estimates today. Our goal is for everybody to participate in some way. Also out in Reed Hall is a table to sign up to give gifts during the Advent and Christmas season to foster children in Nashville or to bring presents for the last-minute toy store. So you can ask questions about those at that table this morning. 5 o'clock tonight is our monthly Teze service, a worship service of contemplation and music. Wednesday night, we will not have our regular dinner and choirs because of the Thanksgiving holiday as well. And as Advent begins, we'd love for you to put December 3rd on your calendar. 4 o'clock, we'll have the Advent Wreath Making Workshop, which is for everybody, and it's especially great for children. That's at 4 o'clock. Then the chancel choir will be singing Bach Oratorio at 5 o'clock. Dinner is served from 5:30 to 7:30. So you can design the evening as best fits you and or your family. And we wanted to let you know about how all that was going to work. We are nearing the season of Advent, and leading us into that is the 25th chapter of Matthew. And this morning we hear the second parable in that chapter, the parable of the talents. And so for those of us who want to follow Jesus, this is a call to action for all of us. So let us open our hearts and minds to hear this story and to follow Jesus as we begin our worship this morning. Thank you.
The time for the harvest is close at hand. What have you done with the gifts God has given you? Praise God for the gifts and for opportunities for service that they represent. Generous God, accept our gifts and our lives this day. To offer us forgiveness. Confident in God's mercies, let us confess our sin. Lord of mercy and justice, you have given us so many talents and gifts to be used in your world. You have given us these gifts because you trust us to use them well, and you promise to be with us in all our work. But we disappoint you when we denigrate the values of the talents, or become so fearful of failure that we don't believe we are capable of helping in this world. Lord, forgive us. Help us trust in the gifts you have given us and trust in your guidance when we use them. Forgive us when we are fearful, stubborn, apathetic, indifferent to the needs around us. Give us hearts for serving you in all our days. Rejoice and celebrate. God has placed God's trust and love deep within your hearts. You have been called and trusted to serve God. Alleluia. Amen. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying,
Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents.
And his master said to him,
Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
And the one with the 2 talents came forward, saying,
Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents.
His master said to him,
Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying,
Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.
But his master replied,
You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and that I gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
invite all the grown-ups to have a seat while the rest of us gather up here. Children of all ages, welcome to come forward. I want to thank all of you who led us in worship this morning by offering your singing and your gifts. What a blessing to all of us. We've just heard a parable of Jesus, and it made me want to tell you a parable. Once upon a time, there was a mom who was going to go out on Saturday and run errands. Do any of your parents ever run errands? And do you have the joy of going with them sometimes? Yeah, going to the grocery store, going to the Walgreens, going to get the dog groomed, whatever it might be. Well, she had a lot of errands to run. She had three children. Two of them were teenagers, and one was 8 years old, so they were old enough to stay by themselves during the day on a Saturday. Before she left, she told the first one, "I want you to fold all the laundry and put it away." And he said, "Okay, yes, ma'am, I will." She told the second one, "I want you to vacuum and dust the whole house and get it nice and clean." And she said, "Okay, yes, ma'am, I will." And she told the third one, "I want you to clean your room, make up your bed, and straighten everything up in your room." And he said, So she went on to do her errands, and she came home, and her first child, the daughter, had folded all the laundry and put it all away, and she said, "Thank you so much." The second child had vacuumed and dusted the whole house, and she said, "Thank you so much." And she couldn't find the third one, so she went to his room, knocked on the door, opened it up, and it was a big mess. He hadn't cleaned his room at all, and he was sitting on his bed playing on his iPad. She was very disappointed and said, "Why didn't you clean your room like I asked you to?" And he said, "Well, it's my room. I don't have to clean it if I don't want to." And she told him she was very disappointed because she was surprising all of them. They were going to have a big party at their house that night, and it was a party for him, and all his friends were coming, and he would want them to come in his room, right? But not if he didn't get ready for the party. That's a little bit like the story Jesus told. God wants us to do the things God teaches us to do, to love other people and be kind and generous, because God wants everybody to know that there's a big party and everybody's invited. And we need to do our part and obey what God says. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are God who wants to have a party and invite everybody, that you love everybody, and you want each and every one of us to be part of that. So help us to say yes, to do what you want us to do, to obey what you tell us to do, so that we can be part of this wonderful party that you have for everybody. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much for listening. You can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or friends. Before I continue this morning, I want to say a word of thanks to all those who helped us experience the parable this morning. David Bone was listed in the bulletin, but we didn't have time to get everyone else listed. So thanks to Kirk McNeil and to Hannah Fletcher Page, who was servant number one, John McGuire, servant number two, and Elizabeth McGuire, the lazy and worthless one. So I did give her a warning in an email, "Sorry, you get fussed at in the parable." It's like, okay, I could do that. And I want to apologize to David Bone because he had to deliver that last doozy of a line. So to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But to all who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. That doesn't sound very much like Jesus. At least the Jesus that we have come to know. What is he saying? Is he saying that all those who are wealthy will be made wealthier and the poor will get poorer? Is Jesus a big fan of the growing income gap that we have in our community? I don't think so. If I know Jesus, and if you know Jesus, we have to agree that that can't be what Jesus is saying. Jesus, who said, "Blessed are the poor," Jesus, who was always saying, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Jesus, who was always warning those who had wealth that it was dangerous and they needed to be careful not to let their wealth get between them and God. So I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. So what does he mean when he says, those who have, more will be given? Those who have what? To all those who have blank, more of blank will be given. And to all those who do not have blank, even what they have will be taken away. So how do we fill in the blank? Well, in order to do that, we need to dig more deeply into this parable. Because obviously we have two characters who have it, whatever it is, and one who doesn't. So let's see what's going on with these three servants. Before we do that, I want to say that Jesus tells this parable about a master and three servants, or three slaves. And automatically, that language troubles us, and it should, given our history as a nation and the practices of slavery around the world. We don't feel comfortable using that language. And that's a good conversation to have, and hopefully we can have that at another time. But it is the framework Jesus uses for this story. So for the purposes of the sermon, I'll be using the terms master and servant. We have a man who is a great landowner, very wealthy, and he's about to go on a journey, a long one. And he calls in three of his servants. And listen to this. The story says he entrusts all of his property to them. He places in them deep trust. And he gives each one of them something of his to take care of. And it's no small potatoes. You may remember that a talent is an amount of money that equals 15 years worth of wages. So to the first servant, he gives 5 talents, millions of dollars. To the second servant, he gives 2 talents. 30 years worth of wages. And to the third servant, he doesn't just give a pittance, he gives 15 years worth of wages, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he is trusting these three to treat his treasure as if it were their own for his sake. He's initiating a relationship of trust. Now the first two behave in exactly the same way. They receive this gift and they respond with loyalty and responsibility and excitement. They go out and start working hard with all they've got to do everything they can to help their master's treasure increase. The first one gets 5, and when the master returns home, he comes back and says, "Master, you gave me 5, and I've made 5 more. He's doubled his investment. Wow, that's some smart work. And he gives it back to the master. He acknowledges all along that it's not his. It belongs to the landowner. Here, it's yours. The second one does the same thing. He doesn't say, "Well, gee, I got less than half than the first." No. He says, "I've taken the 2 that you gave me, and I've worked really hard, and I've made 2 more, and here is what is yours." And to both of them, the master says, "Well done." And then he does this amazing thing. He says to them both, "Enter into the joy of your master." It's as if he changes the relationship, and it's no longer master and servant. They are welcomed into his family. "Come into the joy of my household and enjoy all of this fruit that you've borne. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours." And it is this relationship of trust and love and loyalty and celebration. They are in right relationship with him because they understand they are stewards of what he has given them. So now, servant number 3. What is going on with this guy? He gets hundreds of thousands of dollars and he buries it in the ground. And I thought about it this week for the first time as I pondered this parable. Well, what in the world was he doing all that time? If he buried his master's money in the ground, what was he doing all those years that his master was on the journey? I guess he was just living for himself, having fun, doing whatever he wanted to. But then the master comes home, and the man brings the talent back. He didn't lose it, but he didn't use it. He didn't do anything with it. And the problem comes, I think, with what he says to the master, what he reveals about his relationship with his master. He says to him, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man." What in the parable ever points to the fact that the master is harsh? He has totally entrusted these three. He has initiated a relationship of trust, right? But what this third fellow sees is only a harsh man. Because, he says, you reap where you didn't sow. In other words, if I took this talent and I worked and I earned another talent with it, you'd take it from me. You'd say it was yours. Even though you didn't do the work, you didn't sow the seed, you would claim it as your own. This third servant is all about ownership, not about stewardship. He sees the one talent is his master's. Anything else would be his. And so, out of selfishness, he does nothing. He would rather give nothing than have something he worked for taken from him. And so the master says, "You're missing the party. I would have invited you into the joy of my family and my party, but you didn't get it. You don't see a relationship of love and trust with me. It's only suspicion and fear and resentment and ownership." And that's how the story ends. Poor Elizabeth standing up here forlorn while the other two are going off to the party. So a question this parable raises for us is, how's our relationship with God? Do we see ourselves as stewards of all that God has placed in our care, or as owners, mine and yours? We are called by God to be stewards. From the very beginning of God's relationship with God's people, it's been all about God entrusting us. When the story of creation with Adam and Eve, God placed in their hands the care of the garden. Take care of the garden. Have dominion over the animals. And that doesn't mean dominate them and use them up. It means take care of them. And when the Israelites moved into the promised land, God said, "Remember, I'm giving you this land. You didn't till the soil. You didn't build the houses. When you settle in this land, do not forget that you do not own it. You are stewards of it." We are called to be stewards of all that we are given. This is the lectionary text for this morning, I promise. I didn't pick it because this is the Sunday when we're making our estimates of giving. I promise. It just worked out that way. But the parable does make us think about how we use our resources, the money that we have in our lives. David and I practice tithing, so we give away 10% of whatever comes in every year. That's one of our practices. The danger in that, however, is that we get to thinking, or I get to thinking, hey, that 10%'s gone, the other 90%'s mine, or mine and David's, I guess, I should say. I get to do with it whatever I want to, forgetting that all of it belongs to God. We are stewards of all of it. And every decision we make about our money and what we spend and what we buy and what we invest in is done in reference to that relationship with God prayerfully. Is this something that's going to give honor to God if I buy this? It all belongs to God. And that's what being a steward means. It's not just filling out a card, but offering all that we have into the light of Christ and say, "It belongs to you, God. Guide me in how to use it." And it's not just about money. Those of you who are parents, especially these precious children who sang for us and led us in worship this morning, our children aren't ours to own and control. They're gifts from God, on loan for a while. And we are called to be stewards of them and guide them as best we can, in the hope that their strongest relationship and their greatest love is love of God. All of us have been given the gift of this beautiful earth. Are we stewards of it, or are we owners of it? Do we see this earth and creation as something to be used up for our own profit as we watch all of these trees being cut down and big houses being built and crowded onto the... Are we using up the earth for our own sake? Or are we being good stewards of the creation that's been handed to us so that we can leave a planet in better shape to our children than the one that we received? How are we as the people of God taking care of our planet? How are we being good stewards of all that God has placed in our hands for a time? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be servant number three. I don't want to live out of fear, and I don't want to always be calculating what's mine and what's yours and what's God's. I want to live out of that right relationship with God. That's what goes in that blank. To all those who have a right relationship with God, that relationship will only deepen and increase and multiply and be fruitful. But to all those who are suspicious of God, who are selfish, who are fearful, who don't want God involved in other aspects of their life, even what they have will be meaningless and empty. This parable is an invitation to us to be stewards, to enjoy that mutual, loving, obedient relationship with our God that we might all enjoy the party. Amen. It is now time for us to affirm our faith in this good and generous God who calls us into relationship and stewardship. Will you stand as you're able and join me in our affirmation of faith on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We will continue our worship with prayer. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, we will lift you up during the week. There's a gray card in the pew rack in front of you. Please fill that out. Note if you'd like for it to be kept confidential, and place it in the offering plates in a few moments. We extend our deepest sympathy to two families this morning. The first, Bill and Sally Norton and their family are mourning the death of Bill's mother, Adeline Gregory Norton, who died Monday, November the 13th in Gainesville, Georgia. Services were held there on Saturday. We're also mourning with Elizabeth Fox and her family of the death of her mother, Patty Lester, who died Friday, November 17th in Nashville, Tennessee. Services will be held here at West End this Tuesday, November the 21st at 12 p.m. here in the sanctuary visitation preceding the service in Reed Hall from 10 a.m. to noon. Now let us lift our silent and our spoken prayers to God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of all the changing world, we pray on this November morning for your guidance. The leaves have begun to clatter on their branches, clinging to their summer hold, yet gazing earthward, amorous of the ground below and its quiet embrace. Jesus asks, "Do you love me more than these?" And we cling to all our false sense of control and fears, instead of trusting that when we fall, you will catch us. We feel the same tinge when dusk falls so early. We cling to the sparkling day that we have loved so much, yet lean in toward the beckoning twilight, and then to open arms of sacred night. O God, who has given us the heart to feel it all, guide us through our own changing season. We are about to release our hold on one thing and reach with all hope toward another. Help us to use our gifts to bring about your kingdom in our governments, our economies, in our choices, in our moral opportunities. Be with those who are hurting in our world, especially those who have experienced recent natural disasters, those affected by drought, hurricane, earthquakes, and mudslides. We are at a turning point, and we pray, O loving God, that you will catch us as we fall. Hold us, help us, remind us of all that we bring to this life, and all that is within our power to still become. Give us a strong voice to speak the words that you have written on our hearts. Give us strength to hold high the light that you have put into our hands. Give us the desire to participate with your kingdom as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And now Weston member Ken Luton would like to share with us a ministry moment.
Good morning. When I graduated college, my parents, and especially my father, gave me plenty of good advice. One piece of advice was that my dad gave me was to grow strong roots. He said, "Grow roots in your community, your profession, and most importantly, your faith and church." He said, "Those roots will support you when you need it the most." After college, I moved to Nashville in 1979, where my sister Diane, a recent graduate of Vanderbilt Divinity School, advised me to come to West End, where Russ Monford and Don Marlowe's music would be a good match for me. Diane would later join me, follow me to West End as an associate minister with Russ Monford. 38 years later, my roots have grown deep here. Those roots have supported Peggy and me to raise our four children, helping our family with baptisms and weddings and funerals, to name a few. When my daughter Carly was very, very young, she would ask why we drove past so many churches to get to West End. And I would reply, that's where our roots are. We've been fortunate to have been supported through those happy and sad times of life. Growing those roots have required both our time and our gifts for them to be strong. Shortly after joining West End, I attended a group study called Gifts and Talents, similar to West End 101 today, where I learned how to best use my talents here at West End and to support West End. I've served as a trustee and on various committees, and I continue to work with the trustees, and I'm currently serving my last year on the finance committee here. West End has grown a lot in my 38 years, but is in constant need of our support to continue to grow the strong roots in our community. Our budget next year is $2.6 million, which is closely watched and monitored by the Finance Committee and also by our very capable staff here at West End. I hope you'll be able, hope you were able to attend the town hall Carol started this year to hear how West End operates, how it operates our ministry table, our children and youth ministries, its worship and music ministries, the wonderful building and grounds we have, its outreach, and the general support of the Methodist Church. And of course, our staff needs our support to continue the wonderful history and work of West End. Many of you have very deep roots here, much deeper than mine, and while others of you are just starting to grow your roots, this is a time to fertilize them so you can be supportive of others and be supported in your time of need. We're about two-thirds of the way of reaching our goal of 400 individual commitments. And thank you for those that have made your 2018 commitment, and encourage those who haven't to give prayerful consideration today to helping West End by filling out your cards in the pews or the cards in Reed Hall, and or even returning the cards you received in the mail. In closing, West End does love, and West End does give. And as we finish up our faithful giving campaign, I hope you continue to fertilize your roots here so they will be strong and supportive for you. In the giving of your gifts and growing your talents, you will receive much more. Thank you.
Because God has given us a great banquet, let your thanksgiving overflow with generous giving for the sake of others.
be seated. I'd like to invite those who are joining to come forward. I'd like to introduce you to Trent Hanner. Trent is a reference librarian with the Tennessee State Library and Archives. He's transferring from Blakemore Church of the Nazarene. Jane, are you up there? Jane Benson, there she's, you don't need to come down, you can just stand there. She's making her way. Jane is transferring from Hendersonville First United Methodist Church. She's retired and she's a part of our choir. Trent, this first question is for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And Jane and Trent, this last question is for both of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Congregation, will you stand? Join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jane and Trent are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that all has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. I invite you to greet these folks following our service.
Thank you.
And now let us go from this place as thankful people. May the gratitude to God that we feel flow through us and out into the world, that the world might know the party that's being given in their honor. Go in his joy and peace. Amen.